Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Somebody's Mama. Another week with me. My name is Dani Snow. Thank you for joining me again today here at Somebody's Mama on the Eon One Network. I greatly appreciate all of you returning to see and hear what I've got going on. I've got a lot of stuff going on for you today. With back to school right in front of us, depending where you live, it can start as early as 2 weeks or a whole month out. We're going to get you prepared either way so you and your kids can make this transition from summer to school really easy without all the screaming and the fussing and the fighting and things of that nature. So I'm very excited about that. Also, we're going to review kind of some of the things that have happened in the last week and what we're going to be going forward into next week. Today, phone lines will open up. Guests can call in at any time, and I would love to speak with you. That phone number is going to be 215-383-3839, and I would love to hear from you all. Also, before we get started, I just want to send a very special happy birthday out to Rainey. She took care of my kids for a long time when I was going through and transitioning from a relationship to being a single mom. She had my back the whole time, and she was a very responsible young lady. So I just want to give her, you know, a happy birthday and lots of love and a shout out, because you can never appreciate what people do for you and your kids enough and let them know that you appreciate what they've done enough. So moving right in, I hope that this doesn't happen in your neighborhood or with your child, but we are going to move right in to Where's Your Mama? So back in May in Maine, there was a 12-year-old boy who was charged with taking a school bus for a joyride. Okay? So he was apprehended and he was taken in. Of course, you know, he's gone through, you know, what, all the things that he was supposed to do. So we had assumed that this young man learned his lesson. That would be incorrect. He was apprehended again this Saturday morning after stealing a van and driving through the streets. It wasn't until a police officer stopped the car with his cruiser. He literally pretty much T-boned the car. To get it to stop, that this kid was caught. Otherwise, he would have kept going, and nobody would have known that he was out about in the streets driving around. My first question is, well, how did you even know that it was a 12-year-old? Let's start there. Well, we're going to start with the obvious. 12-year-olds can't drive, so they probably assumed it was a drunk driver, but unfortunately, he's 12, so he didn't know you should steal the nicer car. He stole a van without headlights, that had damage, that it was just a bootleg car, something probably that was very easy accessible for him, and he decided to go and take it for a ride. Obviously, what really caught the attention of the officers was a lack of signals when they were changing lanes and stopping at stop signs. So the basic laws of driving, this kid didn't understand. My question is, he was arrested at 4 a.m. Do you know where your child is at 4 a.m.? If you have to work, especially if you're living in a city like Las Vegas, I would assume you were at work if you didn't know where your child was at 4 a.m. But then I would hope that you left them in the care of someone who would know where they were. You would assume they were in bed, and that person would assume care. But if you're at home and your 12-year-old got out of your house at 4 a.m., we need to have a conversation. Are you not aware of breaking and entering? That's when people come into your house, not leave. So if you leave out, you're going to make noise. When you come in, you're going to make noise. Did we not notice the noise leaving out? Are you not aware of your surroundings in your neighborhood, that when things start creeping in the night, you don't sit up, look around? Or were you too busy doing something else that you weren't focused on your child. So I've got to, you know, first of all, I've got to say something to these parents, like, hello, I need you to do better. I recently on my Facebook page, which I hope you all go and visit, Somebody's Mama Right on Facebook, about how I'm not taking that it was just a second excuse anymore. And I'm not taking that you were too busy or any of those things anymore, because it takes just a second to prevent trauma or drama or any of the above. So if you were preoccupied, then it would have taken just a second to go in your child's room and see what they've got going on there. It would take it just a second to tuck him in at night. Well, he's 12, so you probably didn't tuck him in. But it would have taken just a second to go in there and say goodnight. And my 12-year-old, I don't have a 12-year-old, but when my children get of age, they will go to bed before me. I won't be leaving them up to roam my house or eat all my food for that matter, because I've got two boys who are like bottomless pits. But you won't be left to do those things. That is not an opportunity that I'm going to give you. So did you go to bed and leave your 12-year-old up? Like, there just isn't enough information for me to understand what happened here and how your child got out the house at 4 a.m., stole a car, and was cruising. My next question is why is this a second offense? Why is this his second offense? Because the first one should have, the punishment should have been severe enough that he known better. That you as parents, that the law, that the school district, that somebody should have given him, you know, enough understanding that this isn't fun. We don't do this to this again. Like, we don't repeat. You need to learn from your mistakes and you need to grow. But apparently that's not happening. So, you know, he got a spank on the hand the first time, and now he's back out doing it again. So what are we going to do this to? I have a question. Like, what are we going to do and that he makes a third offense? He's only 12. He's only 12. He's got plenty of opportunity to grow, to develop, to explore. He's not even a teenager, and we all know that teenagers are not the worst, but definitely a challenge. Definitely a challenge. So we will ask, you know, like I said, this is the second offense. Well, the first offense was a school bus. And how did he get into a school bus? Somebody left the keys in, just fired the bus driver, because he did that completely. That was just an idiot move. You never leave your keys in the car for any reason, because they could just simply steal your car, a child or a regular person. So, but he just kind of set himself up with that. So that's this week on Where's Your Mother? What were you doing at 4 a.m. that your child got out to steal a car? And this is not his first offense, but his second offense. What is going to happen? He is going to go to trial this time. If convicted of a felony, he could be sentenced to the Long Creek Youth Development Center there until he turns 21. Unfortunately, you know, that's really scary. Like I said, he's only 12, and he's got all of his teenage years to go through, so I don't think they're going to stick him there till he's 21, but I definitely think they need to stick him there for at least a year. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your feedback. Also, so this is not part of Where's Your Mother, but it's definitely a part of Somebody's Mama. So I was on my Facebook, and I had a friend who decided to post, and I was just simply highly offended by the post. And I think it's really why I'm here and why I speak to people. So his original post said, I would rather have a family than a baby mama. Just too much drama. What was scary is he had women agreeing with him. Now, I don't know a person that would disagree with, you know, hey, I'd rather be a wife than just giving you a kid. But what point do you think you got to this? Like, excuse me, obviously I responded. And my question was exactly, do you think women go around pointing out random men going, you're going to get a baby, you're going to get a baby, and it's lucky, your lucky day, you're going to get two babies. This is not Oprah giving out cars. Women don't walk around picking out men going, I want to have a baby by you, and cause you a whole lot of drama. I have not met a woman yet who has done this and is happy and is living their life and they're okay being a single mother. I was absolutely offended. Like, I don't understand where this came from. So, of course, you know, I asked him, and he tells me that I'm overthinking the statement. He could understand where I was coming from. There's so many ways, you know, to be a single parent with different reasons, but I'm overthinking it. Where am I overthinking? You would rather have a family than just a woman with a baby. Isn't that like everyone's thought is I'd rather have a family? Isn't that the quote-unquote American dream, a family with some kids, a dog, a house? So, I was really just like, and then, of course, you know, I plugged my show. Well, you need to listen to somebody's mama and figure some things out and understand that we don't want to be baby's mamas, and we need to get rid of that term. I am the mother of your child. I provide shelter. I feed. I provide clothing. I hug. I'm a nurse. I'm not your baby's mama. I'm a parent being responsible for the child that we created. Okay, thanks. So I really feel like I had to really just kind of go in on him a little bit because these people are out there. But knowing that these people are out there is absolutely why I'm here. So when you see those people, please make sure you address them and address that term baby mama because that term can be so insulting. I remember way back when they had this song called That's Just My Baby Daddy, and everybody thought that song was so fun. That's just my baby daddy. That's just my baby daddy. I wasn't even old enough to be singing That's Just My Baby Daddy, but I was singing That's Just My Baby Daddy. And now I refuse to call my son's father my baby daddy because when he does his part, he does his part. But it sounds so degrading and so tacky and so inappropriate. Like, a baby daddy? There's a million babies. Who baby? What baby? No, I'm so-and-so's father, you know. I'm so-and-so's mother. And, you know, you need to be able to show that respect. I think if we as parents simply got that part down, like, we got to do better at respecting each other and the names we call each other, we would have a better growth with relationships between parents and couples and co-parenting because of the terms that we use. You know, when you're together, we use those terms of endearment. That's bae, hey boo, what up baby, honey bunny, all these terms of endearment. And they mean so much. And then when you break apart, you start calling them the B word, the H word, you know, I'm grown. You're calling them bitches and hoes and your baby mama. Do you not think that those words are just as effective as those in terms of endearment that you use? I'm just curious because now we were in a place where we are unhappy. When we were happy, I was all these loving things, and you called me by those names to show me how much you cared, how much you loved, how much you felt. And now you're doing it again. And you don't think that these names or these terms are going to cause just as much hurt and pain as the happy ones cause joy and laughter? So I really want everyone to be aware of that term, baby mama or baby daddy. If we can eliminate that, I absolutely, absolutely am campaigning to eliminate those terms. Show some respect and teach your children because the single parent population is growing. We are getting bigger. But I think part of that is because we aren't teaching about mothers and fathers. That's your daddy. That's your mama. Your raggedy daddy. Your thinking mama. No. Go talk to your father. Go see your mother. Respect your parents so that they know whether you all are together or not and you're growing up, they have the space and opportunity to still respect one another and that they can teach their children to respect whether they stay together or not, to still respect whatever household they live in or don't live in. So I'm going to get off my soapbox about that. It just really, really got under my skin. It really just kind of irked my nerves that he had said those things and he you know, doesn't even have kids. Mind you, let me clarify this. This is a late 20s, single, no children, career-having man who made that statement. So I just want to specify, like, where that really came from. Moving on to the awesomeness. This week is the week of Simplify Your Life. Simplifying your life. Well, single mom's life, well, it's not simple. Never has been, probably never will be. But that doesn't mean you can't do things to make it better, to move forward, to make things smooth, to have a good time. So back to school is on its way. I'm so lucky that my son doesn't start till right after Labor Day, and I've got a whole month to get him started and get him there. But if you're only 2 weeks out, I hope you've done some prep work. If you haven't, then we're going to go over some of those things. First and foremost is just what I said. Start early. Prep work. Please. First of all, prep before you go school shopping. Check your things from last year. We don't have, single mothers, we don't have disposable income. Most of us do not have disposable income. So can your lunchbox be washed and be reused? Did you use every single pack of paper from last year? Did you open every single box of crayons, markers, colored pencils, pens? Did Sharpies? Did you use every single school supply? Now, I'm a firm believer in getting a kid a new backpack and school clothes. I'm definitely a firm believer in all of those things because that's building their personality. That's letting them express themselves. That's, you know, getting them ready for the work when they grow older, you know, getting up, being prepared, looking professional. But let's just recycle the office supplies. Let's recycle the office supplies. Look at it that way. How many pens do you go through? And then how many more pens do you find? You know, there's one day where you feel like you have none at all, and then 3 days later you find like 50 of them. Same thing with school supplies. Mom, I don't have pens. Mom, I need paper. Mom, I lost it. I just bought you. And then by the end of the school year, you've got a plethora of stuff you didn't even use, didn't need, could be used again. So if you haven't used any of those things, or if you still have some left over, do an inventory. So before you even go out shopping for school supplies, you know that you don't need this new, you don't need that new, and you're saving money, you're saving time, and you're not in the hustle and the bustle. Make a list and make it a habit. So we know that we get wayward with the summer schedule. They say it takes 3 weeks or 21 days to form or break a habit. Same thing for a routine. I'm sure during the summertime, we've let our kids stay up late, go to bed early, or everything in between. Some of them just stayed up all night. What I need you to do now is to reel it in. It's time to reel it in. Slowly by slowly. You don't have to shock their system if you've been letting them stay up all night, but they've been going to bed till 12 or 1 a.m. If you've got older kids, then we need to start reeling in. Hey, guys, this week we're going to bed at 11. Next week we're going to bed at 10. The week before you're going to bed at 9, and you should be set. It's not a shock to their system. It's not, you know, oh, I have to do this. And then it prepares them for their school year. You also need to do the same thing with waking them up. Wake them up. So if they're sleeping to 10 o'clock, by 10 o'clock you've already been in second or third period. I'm going to need you to get up at 9 o'clock this week, 8 o'clock next week, 7 o'clock the week before. And some of you guys have got kids that have to get up at 6 a.m. Then I'm going to need you to get up at 6 a.m. the week prior to school so that your body is used to getting up and going to bed and it's not still all wayward. Otherwise, you're going to be a slug the first week of school. You're not going to want to go there. You're going to be tired. It's going to wear you out. So go ahead and make sure that we are getting a routine set for school before we go. When I say routine, I don't just mean what time you get up and what time you go to bed. I mean, if you get up in the morning and you know that every morning you have a child that has to eat breakfast or they have to do this, then you need to get them in that routine because you can't just stop the week of school and say, well, you're back in school, so we don't have time for this now. Or we don't have time for this now. Now you've got to hurry up. Hurry up is like a kid's enemy, unless it's what they want to do. This is just like the worst thing ever. they're not really and truly going to hurry up. And they really and truly want what they want. And I know parents say, well, I'm not going to give them what they want. That's spoiling them. But it's not, realistically. You're a human. You get up every morning. You're a coffee drinker. You make your coffee. Are you spoiled? And please don't tell me you've earned the right. I don't want to hear it. They go to school like you go to work, and it's just as much as a job, especially these days going to school. So if you've got a child that needs to get up in the morning and do something specific, give them that time and that opportunity. Start waking them up early and saying, I understand you want to do this. And if there's no hurt, harm, or danger to the rest of the family, then you can do this, but you're going to have to make some compromises and some sacrifices also. I'm going to need you to be willing to get up 15 minutes early if you're the long shower taker. If you've got a kid who feels like they need a 30-minute shower before everybody else gets up and they hold up the progress, let them take a 30-minute shower. But congratulations, you've now got to get up at 5:30. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to get up at 5:30. No. Don't. And mom, dads, don't give in. Don't be like, oh, okay. Or if you really and truly feel that they need to sleep, like I've student athletes, I vouch for them. They definitely need a little bit more sleep than the others. Then let them shower the night prior. There is nothing wrong with showering the night prior. And then they can take as long as they want because no longer no one else needs to get into the tub. Let them shower the night prior. But help them out. Don't just be demanding and say, no, you just take a shower too long and then have your other kids complaining. Because complaining just doesn't work. If your kid goes to a uniform school, then you should be prepared for a week. I found this little Pinterest, and Pinterest is your friend. Even if you are not crafty, Pinterest is your friend. So I found on Pinterest the shoe organizers that they hang, and they happen to have like five little cubbies in there. And I was like, oh, this is great. I see what you're doing here. They labeled the days of the week. Now let me tell you, it was glorious. Like somebody had went out and they had wooden letters and all this fancy stuff, and they had painted it. And I was going, see, the thing is, I can't even cut paper in a straight line. And so mine isn't going to look this pretty. But then I thought, well, first of all, it's not for me. It's for the kids. So let them do it. Let them be involved. So I had my six-year-old write out the days of the week, and I cut them. And I simply used packing tape because I don't have a laminator. Packing tape does the same thing as a laminator. And I put the little word, the days of the week, in between two pieces of tape and stuck them on there. And then he felt involved and he felt encouraged. So for the week, he had all his uniforms picked out, set up, ready to go. I didn't even have to go in at night after each dinner and setting and say, are your school clothes ready for tomorrow? Because wearing a uniform, he wore the same thing, so he was already set. Now, if you have a child who doesn't wear a uniform, it can be a little more difficult. I always suggest laying their clothes out the night before, though. Now, if you have somebody who's, you know, in elementary school and you absolutely can pick out their clothes for them for that week and set them up, go for it. And have that been labeled hanging right in their closet. Here's your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday clothes hanging right in that little shoe organizer now turned mini closet. Now, I know me personally, I was a little bit of a diva growing up, and I had a harder time picking what I wanted to wear. I had a harder time deciding, I woke up like this, or I'm feeling like this. So that always determined. That is the child that you wake up first. Your artsy, special, I want to live and be free. This is the child that you wake up first. This child takes a little longer to get ready. But if they've got a head start, then they're usually ready on time. But if you've let your other three kids go, and because this one is a hassle, and you've let them sleep this long, then you need to reevaluate your process. Because now they're already a hassle. Their time is shortened. And I guarantee at some point you're going to be rushing them. This is three strikes for this child, and they haven't even gotten out the bed. So we don't want to do that to them. Think of ways to build success instead of what you already know you're going to get and what you're already going to deal with. take a preemptive strike, because you can't expect something from them if you're not giving them the opportunity to do better. So that's what I say for those. I'm currently working on my new ebook. It's called Cookies for Breakfast, and it's about Monday mornings, because your whole week kind of is set by the way a Monday starts, setting that tone. So Cookies for Breakfast is something that I actually do, because I don't want my children thinking, oh, God, it's Monday, I can't wait till Friday. When you get up already dragging, it's not gonna help you. So if you get up early and get them started and you prep them, but moms, dads, parents, once again, you got to be in it wholeheartedly. You've got to say, well, tomorrow's Monday, we're having cookies for breakfast, and you've got to prepare for it. So you've got to say, we're going to have a family breakfast, even if it's just this one day a week, that we motivate each other and get each other started. Even if it's just this one day, we're going to get up early. We're going to have this. If this is your artsy child, then tell your artsy child Monday is the one day that they have to have their school clothes laid out the night before. Because tomorrow we're getting up and we're going to sit at this table and we are going to have cookies or donuts or whatever sweet treat we would like for breakfast. Now, please make sure you set the tone and saying, but you got to eat your dinner the night before and we've got to be prepared. And if you do those things and you follow through with cookies for breakfast or snacks for breakfast, Monday mornings are going to be great. And it will change their outlook on what they've got going when they get into high school, when they get into college, when they get into the workforce. Because, you know, now all we get is memes about, oh, God, it's Monday. Oh, Monday. And then we get excited because we're like, Wednesday, hump day, baby. We made it halfway through. And then we've got to Friday, and that Friday, we're like, woo, Friday, and we've only got 2 days to live our life and celebrate, when truth is you have 7 to live your life and celebrate. You don't have to drag Monday through Friday. That is an industrialized work week that was put upon us. You should be enjoying every single day, and if you're not, there's no way you can teach your children to. So you've got to get into it with them and cater to them. If your artsy kid likes, like, double-stuffed Oreo lemon flavor with a little sprinkle on top, go for it. Get it. Don't make them eat regular Oreos if they're not a regular Oreo eater, because that won't get them excited. That won't motivate them. That won't make them want to get up in the morning. They're like, well, you guys are excited because you're eating Oreos. I don't even like Oreos. I like Chips Ahoy. So then guess what, Mom? You need to have a variety. You need to have Oreos. You need to have Chips Ahoy. You need to have Teddy Grahams or whatever it is that this kid specifically wants. Because you want them to see that, hey, guys, I know it's Monday. I love you. We're going to have some awesome weeks. And we're just going to keep moving through. So I want you guys to really push that through and dedicate yourself going into the school year. Is that school is fun. School can be easy. You can breeze right through it as long as you're prepared and you know what you've got. You don't want to be overwhelmed in the crowds, last-minute school shopping, last-minute looking for supplies. And if you really, really hate it that much, simply wait. Nobody gives major assignments on the first day of school. So on the first day of school, all your kid really needs is a new backpack, some lunch, a notebook, and a pencil. They'll probably come home with a completely different school supply list, and you'll probably realize you bought stuff you didn't even need. So if that's your kid, figure out where in that medium your kid is and help them out and help yourself out so you guys aren't stressed. And I want everyone to have a great, great week. Thank you for joining me for another wonderful show. I hope that these things helped you get prepared. But first and foremost, I want you to always remember, you've got to be a leader in love. Don't get frustrated. My name is Dani Snow. Thank you so much. Visit me on Facebook at Somebody's Mama. Also, you can visit our wonderful network, Eon One, also on Facebook. Love y'all. Be blessed.